Okay. How are we doing? Great time of worship this morning. Hello, you five in the front row. Sheesh. Okay. I know. Listen. I had my day yesterday. I do care about Italy. I had my day yesterday. And Dom and I will cry afterwards. It's all fine. Yeah, go to the Springboks. Celebrate Canada. I just want to talk to you a little bit about it so that we get it into our head why we're doing Celebrate Canada. Number one, all being born Canadians and knowing who you are, you should have a better grasp of this than I do. I'm very excited about Celebrate Canada. But you know what? There are some people who have spent hours and hours and hours drilling and cutting and drawing and painting all those amazing games out there. If you haven't had a look, go and have a look. The artwork, the precision, the everything is, you know, when I had the vision in my head, I was like, well, this should save us some money and let's just put some games together. I did not understand the expertise, the passion and the love and the excitement and the artistic flair and the professionalness in which this would happen. And I'm telling you, if other people see those games, they're going to want to hire them from us. They are so good. And I just, especially Janine, who put hours and hours into that. And I know Monique helped, and Tammy and Louise, and I don't know who else helped paint. I think Wally painted. I even painted, but I didn't do the artistic stuff, obviously. And Alan put it all together, and Carmine and Tom and the whole bunch of guys came, and so you know who you are. Thank you so much. So we're getting to the time where we get to use it. However, now that we have the games, this is not for us. It's for the people out there. It's our heart to our community. And so what I'm saying to you is that for July the 1st, we're not going to have a love feast, obviously, but we will have our love feast in the evening. So we need people in this church, in this body, to step up and take ownership. We need, I think there's 10 games, Ellen. How many? Probably, okay. Probably. All right. Well, I'm hitting for 10 right now, and if not. So we need people to handle that thing and be the games master for the game. We also have an amazing popcorn machine, which we need someone to work and to hand out popcorn. We're sending people off to learn how to do balloonology so that we can have them standing and doing balloons for the kids. We have a jumping castle so they can come and play. We need people to be responsible people to man the things so kids don't bump. You know, I watched them last year bounce and hit the floor, and I was like, "Hey!" That was my expression of that. And so we want to make sure that no one does an "Hey!" thing and make me freak out. Let alone what the mothers are thinking. Fortunately, it was people in our church, and they were like, oh, okay, tough kid. So we need popcorn. We need people who are going to barbecue for us, who are going to stand on our wonderful barbecues and barbecue the meat and et cetera, et cetera. So we need a team. So what I'm asking you is, please consider this. This is for the people out there. And so come and say, I want to help with this. I want to help with that. That I don't have to run around with a clipboard and say, hey, will you do this? Will you do that? And so next week we're going to have a sign-up sheet so people can sign up for it. But I'm just putting it in your head. And then because we're not doing our barbecue, can you start thinking about bringing some burger patties as you would prepare for a barbecue or a love feast, but bring patties and sausages and wieners and whatever. And we have a deep freeze. We'll stick them in the deep freeze. So when we get to the 1st of July, we know how much we have to go and buy, or we don't have to buy anything because, like last year, you were so generous about it. So I just want to just put that out for you. So we got today is the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and any time during the week. And then, of course, we need prizes for the games because there's no point of throwing it in thing and then the kid goes, what? So last year we had more candy, and so we're just going to sugar your kids up once again. So if you want to bring candy, or you have something else that you think is it would be a good prize, but don't bring one teddy bear. and say, well, this is things, because we're going to make one kid very happy and 500 very unhappy. So, you know, if you want to go and buy 50 of something at dollar store or something like that, then that's, you give my heart. Yeah, you give my heart, yes, no. Yeah. So let me make it clear. You can invite people. Invite. How am I saying it? Invite. Invite. I-N-V-I-T-E. Invite. I don't know if Chris is mocking me or telling me something. Yeah, we actually want you to do that. So, there we go. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 137. And at the same time, put your finger in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And are we up here? So today we're launching a new series. Behold your God. And I want us, when we look at this, to get excited. Behold, and I could have said our to make it general, but I want it to be personal. Behold your God. Talking to myself, Mark, behold your God. So this becomes personal, part one. And through the series, I want us all to review, to understand. And before I do that, I want you to pray for me. You can start anytime you like. Now you can use big words. Open voice, not your inner voice. Thank you, Danny. Yes. Thank you. So, Lord, I pray for these wonderful people, Lord God, that you would open their minds, their hearts, and their eyes to see the mysteries of Scripture, to a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of your love for them and who you are and how you relate to us and us to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be, over the next couple of weeks and maybe into months, I want the big picture. Do you remember we did that thing, we had the big picture, the umbrella, the Trinity, the Godhead, Father God, and then underneath our value system and worked all the way down? The big picture here today is over the next couple of weeks, I want us to learn and to understand and get a revelation of the grace of God in our lives and what that means. And so I want to start off this morning by talking about the name of God. I'm going to say something this morning and you're going to have a belief system that you've believed all along. And when I say it, you're going to go, oh, is that right? The first thing I'm going to say, I'm going to throw it out there because I don't want you to wobble all the way through. God is not his name. I'll explain later. So God is not God's name because he has a name. I'm going to show you in Scripture how he reveals his name to us. And unfortunately, Christians in society have forgotten that. We always refer him to God, which is the pre-existent one, the amazing creator of the universe. He is God. But that's not his name. I want to have a look for help us to get a high view of God. Who is God? This mighty being. Not some philosophy or a philosophical idea or thought. That's how I used to believe. I used to believe God was out there. He was happy sometimes, he was angry sometimes, and if I messed up, he was going to hit me with a stick, and he just let everything mess up around us. And I don't want to know about Jesus, because I already had been to church, and I'd grown up in Sunday school. I don't want to talk about Jesus, because I knew who Jesus was. And when you got Jesus, me to think about Jesus, then that upset me, because it didn't go with my philosophy. Because philosophy is not always Bible. Philosophy is sometimes good, but it's not always Bible. It's just a good idea. Sometimes not even a great idea. And for us to understand that sometimes society, we've just dumbed him down to the big guy in the sky or the guy up there. And when I hear people talk like that, it's like you might as well just stab me in the heart, twist the knife, pull it out and do it again. Because that's not who God is. We have in some circumstances just lost the reverence, the awesomeness of God. When we understand and get a revelation of the covenant of God, and that's where we need to understand. There's an old covenant and a new covenant. And I'm going to harp on that until we get this into our hearts. And so I want to show that to you. So this morning we're going to do some doctrine and theology and some good stuff again. We need to have a look and think, just logically, why was there an Old Testament and why was there a New Testament? We just see the Holy Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Well, if you go, and for the standers, where are they? There's Rick. Rick, New Testament says, I hope you can hear me, Heather. When we give a testament, it says, God, do it again. So now we've got Emmeline and Ava. God, do it again. We prayed again this morning. And Rick's freaking out. When we think about Old Covenant, New Covenant, the Bible tells us we need to learn to correctly divide the word. We understand that there was Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, and a New Covenant. Well, why was there a new one? Well, because it was an old one that became obsolete. And we don't live in that dispensation anymore. But sometimes we still want to live in that dispensation. We mix law and grace together. And we need to learn to correctly divide the word and say. Because, again, another biggie, there are things in the Bible that are said that don't apply to us today. Oh, Mark, now you're going to shoot some holy cows. Well, because if it's in the Bible, then it's got to be true. Well, of course it's true. But we live in a different dispensation. We live in the new covenant. The old covenant is finished. But we have to learn. We need to understand it. So, and I've said this before, so we can carry it in to the new covenant so we can understand why there is a new covenant. God was judge and jury and everything else in the old covenant. And then he came along, and then we had 400 years of total silence. Nothing happened. And then all of a sudden we have New Covenant. The Gospels, ostensibly most of the we read in the Gospels, is also under Old Covenant. Only when Jesus died and the blood was shed and the Holy Spirit came and sealed it was New Covenant. Don't throw stones at me. Keep your rocks in your pocket. But I want us to understand doctrinally the name of God, and how we relate to that. Because some of us are stuck. And you can't see it yet. And I hope by the end of today you will. And I'm taking way too long to get through this. But Israel was in captivity. Psalm 137. It's helpful if I'm there when I've already told you to be there. So I just want to paint a little picture. And I promise to try and get through this quickly. 130, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. We're going to do Boney M. this morning. Okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. Oh, the willows there, we hung up our lyres, for there our captives required us of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. In captivity, we've got to sing the song of liberty and freedom. Are you crazy? We hung up our lyres. We were not in a good place. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They were in Babylon. They were in captivity. If we remain in Old Covenant captivity, we are not going to see the full blessings that God has for us and opens for us and that we can walk in liberty and freedom because He has made it that way. But we live in an Old Covenant religious, legalistic mindset. Deuteronomy chapter 28, curses and blessing does not apply to us today. Another sacred cow we just shot in the head. Stay with me. This is good news. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. See, when the wind blows here, Holy Spirit blowing upon me. Isaiah chapter 40. God is making a promise to his people to release them, to take them out of their captivity. And it starts off when they were exiles from Babylon, coming back. A restoration of God's people. A glorious hope. There is hope for us to move out of old covenant into new covenant. There is a glorious way that God has provided. And he starts off by reading, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." God tenderly speaking, wooing his people. "And cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." This sounds like a prophet speaking. And we have to learn to read it in prophetic voice speaking for the future. Because I'm going to read some stuff and you go, oh, I know where that's in the New Testament. "Of her iniquity is pardoned, that she received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Do we read that in the New Testament somewhere? John the Baptist, a voice crying out to him. He was the greatest Old Testament prophet. "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain." Why? If we could put that in. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." These are metaphors of a place for the coming king to come in. And we want every valley brought low, every mountain brought low, every valley brought up, the way made open, the gates opened up, that God can rain down on us. You should be in the pre-service prayer meeting. I'm just saying that straight out. To get what happens out there, to see how it functions in here. When people are just speaking the oracles of God, not knowing what I'm going to preach about. Pay attention, Kevin. "And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Drop down to verse 9. This is a now for them and a prophetic word for the future, the prophet Isaiah. "Go you up to a high mountain of Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, heralds of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, Acts 1:8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and outer parts of the world. Behold your God. Behold your God." When we think of behold your God, we should be ignited. Something should be stirred inside of us. This is my God. "Behold, the Lord comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd and he will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." A prophecy of the coming Messiah. We have the conquering king who is coming, the generous king who is coming. "I will bring my reward and my recompense with me," and a tender shepherd king, the great shepherd king, the great I am, Jesus Christ. A few weeks back, we looked at what is important about a name. If you weren't here, we were talking about changing the name of the church. Which we're going to do in the future. We still, just so I make it clear, we are waiting on the government to give us the go-ahead. So I'm speaking in faith. Because we function and we live and we breathe in faith. And so that's why we haven't got signs up and anything else yet. We are changing the name of the church in Jesus' name. And a few backs, we looked at what's in a name. What is the importance about a name? Why is it so important? We understand in society that we name children, society out there generally, names is out of, what's the word I'm looking for? Sentimental reasons. Or it's Uncle Joe's the great guy, and so we named him after Uncle Joe, and my middle name is after my dad's name, and if I'd had a son, I would have given him a middle name, which was my middle name. And then sometimes as Christians, we go and we pray, and we look up the name and the meaning of the name, and we give a kid a name. But we cannot do what God did, and change a name which gave a person a whole new identity. And we hope and pray that as we speak the love and the name over the person, that they will grow into the things that God has ordained for them. And we looked at Abraham, which meant half father, changed his name to Abraham and became father of the nations or multitudes. Sarai became, which was my princess, Sarah, mother of nations. Jacob was supplanter or the grabber. And you know, he stole his brother's birthright, changed his name to Israel, having power with God. And then Nabal, of course, just remained Nabal, which means a fool. But when we look at God, Yahweh, which is what the tetragram says, the four letters of God's name, you don't take out the A and the E, and we just have the four together, the vowels, thank you, Chris, and it becomes Yahweh, and it's called the tetragrammaton. Just throw that word out there for you for fun. And that is the name of God, Yahweh. The Jews rever that name so much, they won't even put the vowels in between. They just say, when they write God, if you ever read anything a true Jew has written, he will G, underline, D, not O. Because they won't say the name, they have so much heart. And I think there's a sense of wonderfulness in that, but also we don't want to get religious and legalistic about it. God's name is God's name. And I'm jumping way ahead of where I want to be. But we, as I said, we don't want to see God's name dumbed down to the big guy in the sky. Scripture teaches us in Matthew 6:9, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, someone mentioned that this morning, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. When we enter in a place and it's holy, I don't know, we get religious because when we go to this side of religion and then we go, and we talk in whispers because you can't say anything because it's holy. I think that's silly, but I think, you know, we need a reverence in our heart, a fear of God that is amazing. You're amazing, God. Not fear that, if I blink or wink, he's going to hit me. It's not that at all. And we say, and then with the same breath, we blaspheme the name of God. And we Facebook and we text the letters OMG. And we use it as an expression or an expletive or an excitement. Just say, wow. Because we don't have any other words to express ourselves. We use the Lord's name in vain. No one here. I know that. Behold your God. We go and get excited and we, instead of just honoring his name, just have inside our hearts, behold my God. Make it personal. We need to have a high view of God. Well, what does that mean, Mark? Like the prophet Isaiah, the same one who wrote this stuff, said, I see the Lord high and seated up. And his train fills. Can you just read that in a poetic mindset and see that picture? And the holiness, the hallowedness, and the deepness of that piece of scripture. He's high and he's mysterious and he's far above us all. And if any of you have an inclination to study him and to understand him, you will fail. Because we don't understand everything, and that's why he is God. Talk about, over the next couple, we're going to talk about the attributes and the character and the nature of this gracious God. And how, who he is and how he wants to relate to us and how we relate to him. Dividing the word correctly and what his intention is for us. So we have incommunicable attributes of God. Which mean that the attributes that God has, and that's why we're never going to understand him or get him, is the ones that we don't share. Like what, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. Like eternity. No, but aren't we going to live in eternity? No, we're going to live in eternity. But God is eternity. He has, he was, and will always be, and we are not. We have a defined moment when we're born, and then we will go, and we will express. But we don't function in that realm. Unchangeableness. That's a word. God is unchangeable. He was, he is, and will be the same. We change. Man, I hope we do. I want to change more and more and more into His glory, into His grace, into understanding Him even more. And to live in His fullness. And understand His righteousness. And I said last week or a week ago, holy hands that I can unequivocally raise up holy hands without being, well, am I holy? Without having to consider it. If I said, are you a man in this room? All the guys would stand up, ping, immediately. Because they know we're men. All the ladies stand up. I'm a lady, I know that. Put up holy hands. I know that. Who's righteous? Stand up. Ah, me, I'm righteous. Why? Because He has made us righteous. Not of ourselves. Omnipresent. God is always omnipresent. We're not. Omniscient, and we can go on just for sake of time. And then there are the communicable attributes where we live with God and those that He shares with us. God is love. And we can love too. Not at the same degree, of course, because when you boil this all down, He is God. Behold, your God. God is knowledgeable. Well, we can study and we can gain knowledge. God is mercy. Well, we can be merciful. We can exercise mercy. We can be merciful. God is justice. We can exercise justice. But yet again, not into the same degree that He does. Because there always comes a time when we, oh, I'm tired of this now. This is not fun anymore. And God is just dishing out mercy and grace and mercy and grace to us through His Son Jesus. So Mark, what do you mean now when we talk about all this kind of stuff? How do we incommunicable and communicable and His attributes and how He relates to us? So now there's another doctrinal word that we can talk about is called anthropomorphological or anthropomorphic. So what it means is that God in Scripture uses language that we as humans can understand. And so what we see are descriptions of God. And those are not His names, but that's how He relates to us. So we can go, oh, okay, I get that. So in creation, we see in scripturally, and I've got all the scriptures if you want to check me out afterwards, we see God's described as a lion. We see Him described as an eagle, as a lamb, actually as a hen too, as the sun, as a fountain, as a rock, as a tower, and it goes on and on and on. And so He is my tower, He is my rock, He is my fortress. And we get all that. And so we can relate to God like that because we understand that. In human expression, it says He's the bridegroom. He's the husband, He's a father, He's a judge and a king, He's a man of war, He's a builder and a maker. And we understand that in human concept. And we understand it because now we see it. But when we want to delve into understanding who is God, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I hope this is as clear as mud to you. No, I'm joking. Is this making any sense? Good. There's always one in a crowd. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. So the beginning of the story is Moses is on the burning bush. Come to me, you're standing on holy ground. Okay? Verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Fair question. He said, but I will be with you and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So God is a time and a place for us, and He's speaking to Moses in terms that Moses understands. However, Moses not too sharp, not the sharpest tool in the shed. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and we say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's His name. And He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, a more direct, correct translation of that is, I will be what I will be. If you go and study your Hebrew, you will see that. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob has sent you. So now he's giving Moses some history to help the people understand who he is. He's already told him, my name is, I will be who I will be, or what I will be, I am who I am, and that's who you save. And then he shortens a little bit down to I am. Now when you go and do the whole translation, you will see this tetragrammaton as the name of God. So we see the name Yahweh, which is what is translated it, it says that God is self-existent. This is what this says. I am who I am means I am self-existent. Therefore, not dependent on anything for his own existence. Number two, the God is the creator and the sustainer of all exists. Are you getting a higher view of who this God is? Not some old guy up in the sky. He is self-existent. Try and wrap your head around that a little bit. He is the self-existent one. That's our God. That's who we serve. That is my Abba Father. Wow. The God that is immutable, unchangeable in his being and character, and thus is not in the process of becoming something different or more so to the point of what we want him to be. Our little God in a box. Now, if I put God in a box, then I can understand him, then he can do what I tell him to do. He is outside of time and space. Behold, your God. The God that is eternal in existence, as already said. So now when we refer to Yahweh or Jehovah, his name is divided into two major categories. The creatorship or Elohistic names of God, which is El, to be strong and powerful, mighty. It is a singular. It is used as the Father is El. The Son is El. The Holy Spirit is El. That's a whole new doctrinal teaching on the Trinity of God that we miss sometimes because we want to box them separately and see how we function. And anyway, Elohim is the plural of El and is used about 2,500 times in the Old Testament. It is often most used when describing God's characteristics or attributes in relationship to man. I didn't put that in, but that's what it is. So let's have a quick look. And there's all the names that we trot out. And El Elyon, El Roy, El Shaddai. He's all these. So now when we look at in creation, we look at him and go, in creation, he is the El Elyon. He is the Most High God. In creation, he is El Gibor, the mighty or great God. In creation, he is Elohim Sabaoth, God of hosts. Behold, your God. And that's how they used to relate to him in Old Testament. What are you saying, Mark? He's also broken down into the redemptive or Jehovahistic names of God. And then we also quote Jehovah this, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah the other. Which is Yahweh or Lord, translated. I am that I am, the self-existent one, revealing himself. And in redemption, we relate to him that way as a description so we understand who he is. And that's why I said we need to stop dumbing God down into this little pocket that we understand. We need to be, if I came up to you right now and I gave you a check for $1 million, just think about it. What would your expression on your face? You don't have to shout out. If you want to shout out, you can. And I handed you a check for $1 million. I said, this is yours. See, Vince, it's got your name on. It's yours. What would you say? Cool. Okay, let's try someone who's got some laugh in there. John, if I gave you $1 million, what would you do? There you go. Thanks. Did you see his eyes? How they lit up? Ding! Now, I know this is a gameplay thing, but if I really came and gave you a check and you would stand there and go, you'd be like a goldfish. Maybe it would dawn on you that this says Greg Holland. Is this for me? Who? Okay. Who? Is this for me? All of it's for me? Or I came to you and I gave you, I said, come with me, I'll take you for a drive. You see this house? Yeah, it's yours. You have the keys to it. It's for me. When we understand and get the revelation of, behold your God, The I am, the I am. He is my Abba Father. You should go, I'm His. He's my God. The one I call on. The one who can do everything in my little humanistic mind. Oh Lord God, let us have a great meeting this morning. In Him, behold your God, the pre-existent one, the one over everything. I'm repeating this because I want to get this into your spirit. So when you talk of Yahweh, that song we sing, Yahweh, 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 we are calling on the name of the Most High God. Yeah. I'm running way ahead of myself. I don't know where I am anymore. Where am I? It's okay. Jehovah is the I am that I am, or I will be all that I will be. God is the eternal, unchanged and unchanging one, and He will be all that He is ever needed to be for you. The redemptive compound names are always linked to some need of man. When we read this stuff here, I need my Jehovah Jireh. I need provision. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is my source. Not my job. Not your tithes for me. Not anything. But He provides for me. When God says, the Lord is my name, He is emphatically stating that I will be whatever my people need me to be. He meets our redemptive need in redemption power. I don't know. There we go. Some more for you. I just put them up here so you can have a look and see. However, the New Testament names the title of Jesus, because Jesus, if you go back into the real Hebrew, is not really Jesus. It's Jehoshua, as in Joshua. But in here we see the translation is Jehovah, Jehoshua Christos, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, He is the Savior, the Anointed One. But I don't want us to get stuck in an incorrect dispensation. I want us to learn to relate to God in a new dispensation, the new covenant. So Mark, this is like, you're attacking my brain this morning. Great, I meant to do that. When we get there, we see that the ultimate revelation of the Elohistic and the Jehovahistic names is actually in Jesus Christ. We don't relate to God like that. We relate to God through Jesus Christ. We know the curtain was opened and everything is for the honor of the Father and the blessing of the Father, but it is through the Son. It's like, well, there are other gods we can talk to and we can know there are none. There are no other gods. There is only one God. There are no other gods. Well, what about the other gods that other religions? No, there is no other God. Those are imagery, those are idols, and those are cults. Well, what about the Hindus? Well, what about them? That is not God. There are no other gods before me, says God. There is only one God. All the roads lead to God. Well, actually, only one road leads to God. Many roads lead to Jesus, but one leads to God. There are no other gods. God says that. So we can't play church, we can't play religion and say, well, there are other gods around. No, there aren't. They are cults, they are demons, they are idols, and whatever you want them to be, but there is only one God. The God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the God whom we serve, Yahweh. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest redemptive name ever to be revealed because it comprehends in a triune name all the compound redemptive names of Jehovah. It is in the name and person of the Lord Jesus Christ that God meets every need of man in redemptive power. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's ordained Redeemer and all Old Testament redemptive names point to and find their consummation in His redemptive name. It is the name of Godhead bodily. It is a triune name for the triune God. It's written by theologian Kevin J. Connor. And so you know that I'm not, what is that other word? I don't know at the moment. Yeah, there you go. Crazy, yes. Yeah, we've got a few names for me. New Testament names and title of Jesus, there's hundreds of them. There we go. We don't have time to look at them all, but you know, just quickly having a look. This is His name that we call Him. So what we understand is that when we relate to God, we relate to the Son, to the Father through the Son. And so when we come and we call, we don't call on El Shaddai. We don't call on, and He is all that stuff. I hope I'm making this clear to you. We have to learn to step from here. If this is Old Covenant, this is New Covenant, we have to learn in here and see Jesus, the name above all names, the life that brings life. Why do you think they were so mad with Him? We don't get it really when we read Scripture, when Jesus says to the Pharisees and to the leaders of the time, understanding, I've just told you that God's name is I Am, that I Am. And then Jesus comes here and He stands before them and He says, I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am light. I am. That's why they freaked out. You're taking the name of God and you're saying it. You're Him. Yeah. That's why we have to learn to relate to Him that way. Not setting Him aside because let's forget about the Son. Let's go to the Papa. I hope this is helpful. Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, who are we talking about? Prince of Peace, of the increase in His government and of peace, there will be no end. Eternity, infinity, Jesus Christ, New Testament fulfillment, Philippians 2, chapter 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every other name. The name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's part of what Jesus came to do, to bring glory to the Father. He came incarnated as man at a time, but fully man, fully God. And this is Trinity doctrine that I'm talking about here. Is that where we understand that the three are in one? So we know that God is still Elyon, El Shaddai, El this, El that, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. He's still there. He doesn't change because He's unchangeable. But it's how we relate to Him in a new covenant mindset. The grace of God is upon us. Moses brought the law. Jesus brought what? Grace and truth into our lives. And so we relate to the Godhead through the Son Jesus. Because Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus is the name that every knee shall bow. Jesus went to the cross for you. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus, the curse was taken upon Himself for you. Everything. Anyone who hangs upon a tree is called accursed. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Last slide. Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. What do you mean? There's stuff out there that we can't see? Yeah. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church. Can the worship team musos come up, please? He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in everything He might be preeminent. The first amongst everything. The pre-existent one. Jesus is His name. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All the elves and the Jehovahs and everything that God was to the Old Testament people, Jesus is to the New Testament people. I'll put it that way. For in Him that was, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. It's Jesus. And we call on the name of Jesus. Why do you think we finish every prayer in the name of Jesus? Because otherwise we could have said in the name of Jehovah Jireh, because we're praying for provision. But Jesus is our provision. Jehovah Nissi, God's banner over us. Jesus is the banner over us. Jehovah something, tell me. He is that over us. Roha, He is. Rapha, He is our healer. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when we sit in an old covenant mindset, we don't get that. We don't get the power in the name of Jesus. I feel the Spirit of God all over me now. He just wants to open your eyes and let your heart see His Son, Jesus. Glorious Jesus, the hope of the world. Not of one person, not of a nation. Jesus, the hope of the world. Everything we do and say is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. And this morning I purposely started reading from Psalm 137. How can we worship? How can we praise our God when we're stuck in Babylon? How can we lift our hearts? We took our lyres and hung them on the tree. We can't do this in a foreign land. Church, get out of the foreign land. Come into the new land. Come into the land that Jesus has provided for you. That you can take up your harp and your lyre. And you can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you can leave Babylonian thinking behind you. That you can walk out of. The exiles came out. They walked around. They got lost. Call them God, He rescued them. Call them God, He rescued them. We need kings, I'll give you kings. We need judges, I'll give you judges. What they didn't know is they needed Jesus. He took them into the promised land. Silence for 400 years. God, and to you and me, that's a whole bunch of time. But God, a day is like 1,000 years, a couple of minutes in heaven. He said, my son, the plan of redemption needs to take place now. He said, yes, Dad. And He came down to earth. The redemptive power, the redemptive name, the redemptive creation, because He was there in the beginning. It was like Jesus was now had to be made. He was there in the beginning with God, watching all of this. This morning, if this has touched your heart in any shape or form, if you feel, wow, this is, I never got to see the new covenant. I've got to see the old covenant, understand the law, the religion. And if I have to perform, and I'm telling you now, if someone is telling you, you're not praying enough, you're not fasting enough, you're not reading your Bible enough, law, old covenant, it's Babylon. Should we pray? Should we fast? Yeah, that's, please hear my heart in what I'm saying. We cannot bend God's arm. Jesus was broken. His arms were broken for us. And we try through our prayers to bend God's arm, to manipulate God in a box. If I'm speaking louder and you think I'm shouting, I'm not. I'm just excited. Do you know that as I prepare these words, I get these revelations myself. And I get excited in my study and I do a little jig sometimes. I'm, and never saw that before. I'm learning too. I want you to come up. We want to pray for you. If there's anything that you feel, Lord, I feel a bit like Psalm 137. I want to get to Isaiah 40. I want that. Comfort my children. Comfort the conquering king, the generous king of heaven, the shepherding king. I want more of that in my life. Just come now. Come up front. I want to pray for you. We're going to worship. We want God to break you of something to sin. Let the shackles be broken. Let that mindset of law and grace that is mixed together, let that be shattered forever. I know some of the stuff has been, wow. You mean God's name's not God? No, I do. As the Bible says. That would be like saying, human being is my name. If I put that into that kind of context to help you see it. I am a human being. In actual fact, I'm a spiritual being, have a human being experience while I'm here. I'm created spirit before I'm created human. I needed a covering to dwell here. God doesn't need a covering because He is God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at
your God. Behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, the anointed Savior, the mighty God.
How great is your name, God.
How great are you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Father God, we just lift up those who are standing, come out before you, the God, this morning. Oh Yahweh, Jehovah God, we stand before you this morning amazed at your goodness, that you would send your Son, Jesus. The I Am, the light of the world, the bread of life. And God, I pray for those this morning, Lord God, who by their action this morning said, Lord God, take me out of Babylon. Take me out of a different mindset. Take me into the promised land, Lord God. Take me into a deeper dispensation with you, Lord God. Father God, I don't want your laws written in stone. I want your laws written in my heart, living flesh, Lord God. God, give me boldness, Lord, to declare your goodness. Let the name of Jesus be on my lips at every minute, every moment. Let a deeper revelation, even from the words that have been spoken this morning, go into my spirit, Lord God. Let that ruminate in there. Let that grow, Lord God. Father God, as the Israelites did, we step back and we turn our backs on Egypt, on Babylon. We walk out of that. A prophetic action, we move in to the new covenant, Lord. What I didn't even get to this morning is we relate to God in the New Testament, but in a different dispensation again. And the greatest one is Father, Abba Father. We relate to Him as the Despotes, the one who rules. We relate to Him as Kurios, our mighty God. So Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. Thank you for these people, Lord God. Holy Spirit, would you come and touch each one of these hearts right now? That you would come and Lord God, you would help a deeper intimacy, a greater revelation. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.